Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, I just thank you for the word of God. I thank you, God, for I just bless the hearers tonight of your word. I thank you, Father, they are blessed. Father, I thank you, God, for your anointing to hear. Father, I just thank you for, again, for your word tonight. It has free course in this place, God. God, we just praise you. We just give you all glory and honor and praise, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, the teacher, teach us, lead us, guide us into all truth, we ask this night. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all may be seated. Well, see, it does pay to take good notes, doesn't it? Charlie and I have been taking good notes for about 32 years at Calvary Cathedral International. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, like Pastor said, these are notes from the Gospel Truth Seminar, Andrew Womack. And before he started talking about the principle of the seed, he laid a foundation with faith and hope, a living hope. He actually started in 1 Peter 1, if y'all want to turn there. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. I'm going to read that. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." That's good news, isn't it? Hallelujah. You know, Christians, believers, have a living hope. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus changes everything. Hallelujah. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 19 and 20, he said, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Because we have a living hope in the resurrection, we are of all people most blessed. Amen. Most happy. Amen. In Jesus' name. The living hope actually sets us apart from the rest of the world. Regardless of how bad things may seem on this earth, we are looking unto Jesus. We're looking at an incorruptible, undefiled inheritance that will never fade away. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And it's reserved with your name on it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Incorruptible, Strong says, means not reliable, not liable to corruption or decay. It means imperishable, immortal, and the risen dead. Ephesians 1 talks about Christ being raised from the dead, seated at the right hand of the Father. Ephesians 2, 5 and 6 says, "Even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us, amen, together with Christ, and raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Andrew said, "Nothing that Jesus has done has diminished in any way." Hallelujah. I'll say it again. Nothing that Jesus did for us has diminished in any way. Our lives are not about this physical realm. It's not about what we see, what we hear or taste or feel. Amen. It's because we are not of this world. God has done his part. So it's up to us to look beyond the problem and see the promise, the word of the living God. Yes. See beyond the natural into the spirit realm. Amen. We must believe the word of God over everything in this world. Hebrews 11, 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Hallelujah. Everything is by faith. Everything, every seed we sow is by faith. Amen. You remember Thomas in John 20. He said, I will not believe that Christ is risen unless I see the prints of the nails in his hands and put my finger even into the print of those nails and thrust my hand into his side. Then he said, I will not believe until I see that. And 8 days later, Jesus appears to him. And the first thing he did was speak to Thomas. He said, go ahead, Thomas, reach your finger into my hands. Amen. Thrust your hand into my side. But be not faithless, but believing. Hallelujah. Jesus spoke in verse 29 there of John 20. He said, Thomas, because you have seen me, thou hast believed. But blessed are those that haven't seen and believed. Glory to God. Glory to God. The greater blessing is to see by faith. Think about it. Yeah. The greater blessing is to see by faith. Andrew also used the example of the centurion that had the sick servant. Jesus told the centurion that he would go to his house to heal him. Matthew 5:8, the centurion answered him, said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come to my house. But speak the word only, and my servant will be healed, because I too am a man of authority. So Jesus said unto him that he has not seen such great faith in all of Israel. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Just as all births come from seeds, so this birth from above comes from a seed. Hallelujah. The seed that produces salvation is God's word. Glory to God. And just as it would be foolish for a woman to expect to deliver a child when she has never received a seed planted in her womb, so in the same way it would be foolish for us to expect anyone to be saved without planting the seed of the word of God in their heart. Notice also that the seed of God's word lives and abides forever. Glory to God. There's no expiration date on its power.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The words of God that were spoken thousands of years ago are still alive and active and producing fruit this very day.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4:2 says, the gospel preached will not profit you if you do not mix it with faith. Amen.
Right.
The English word seed is translated from the word spora, the Greek word spora. It means a sowing, i.e., by implication, parentage. That's the Strong's Concordance definition. Parentage. Interesting, isn't it? It's akin to the Greek word sperma, from which we get the English word sperm. In the same way that a child cannot be produced without a sperm, so a child of God cannot be produced without the incorruptible seed of God's word. And there are no hybrids. Hallelujah. The seed of God's word cannot be manipulated. Mm-hmm. The seed of the word is as powerful today as it was when God spoke it. Like any seed, it has to be planted to release God's power. It has to be planted. This is where a lot of Christians miss it. They're not planting God's word in their hearts. Turn to Mark 4:26. I'm going to read 26 through 28. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. Jesus is saying this is how the entire kingdom of God works. A seed has to be sown into the ground. The seed is the word of God. It produces the children of the kingdom. Amen. The church. Hallelujah. And the ground is the world. The church will continue to grow until the gospel of the kingdom has been preached all over the world. And then the end shall come, according to Matthew 24:14. The harvest is the end of the world when the church is fully ripe or complete. Verse 27 there is teaching that God's word takes time to work. It works effortlessly and automatically, but it still takes time. We don't have to understand it. We just have to plant it and let it grow. Hallelujah. The key to this whole process is the seed staying in the ground. If you dig the seed up every day and just to see what's happening and replant it, it will not grow. We just have to put God's word in our hearts and leave it there. Notice that this man didn't know how this seed time and harvest worked. Mankind, with all of its wisdom, can't even make a seed. Hallelujah. We've learned how to cooperate with the laws God created, even though we don't fully understand the concept. That doesn't keep us from reaping the benefits of it, though. Likewise, we don't have to totally understand the process of how God's word produces fruit. Verse 28, God created our hearts to release the power of His word, just like the ground releases the power in seeds. The ground doesn't care what type of seed is planted in it. It will still grow. Likewise, our hearts don't choose the seed. Any word planted in our hearts will produce. Any word. Mm-hmm. That's why we need to be very, very selective, amen, of what we let into our hearts. I remember Brother Copeland used to say, you know, some of y'all need to pray for crop failure. This is a growth process. Then it was first the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. There are always steps to the fulfillment of a vision, a dream, a word from God, the written word of God. Amen? There's steps to that fulfillment. It takes time for the roots to develop and to grow deep. You know, just like in the natural realm, it's very important for us not to skip the baby steps. Hallelujah.
So true.
Mm-hmm. I love how God protects us.
Yes.
He gives us anointings and gifts and things as we have the maturity to handle them. That's why seed time. Seed time. Then the harvest. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. So it's a good thing, time. It's a good thing. It's for us. Amen? It'll protect you from getting out there too soon, too early, before the time. Amen? You don't want to cast forth your fruit before the time in the field. Amen? Hallelujah. I'll never forget Kenneth Copeland prophesying over Pastor Here's a quote from that. The Lord said, he, talking about pastor, he thought it had gone so long that it was never going to come to pass. That if this stage was ever going to, come, it would have already come. No. You see, the thing is so large, it took this much seasoning and grounding. It took this long for heaven to prepare it, and it's now. Glory to God. Woo! This word is still alive today and working. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! He also said it is big. He said it is so big. Hallelujah. It's hallelujah, even more than you could even ask or think. The move of God that's coming to this house. Andrew said, you know, a lot of Christians pray for God to use them. He said, you don't want to pray for God to use you. He said, you need to pray, God, make me usable. Amen? Yes, amen. Hallelujah. He loves us so much. You know, he wants to protect us from things that we're not ready for. You know, this is how the seed works too. First, the roots develop. Then there's, you know, the time, the growth. And it is a God-created plan. It's his plan. Think about it. In the natural, you know, we're babies for a long time, aren't we, in the natural? Yeah. Hallelujah. Put the word in your heart and don't skip a step. Don't skip the process because it's very important. If the roots aren't fully developed, any attack of the enemy could stop you. It says the earth brings forth of herself. That of herself is the Greek word automatos, where we get our word automatic from. It's only used twice in the scripture. It's also used in Acts 12:10. It means self-moved, automatic, spontaneous. The ground produces fruit automatically. Likewise, our hearts are made to automatically produce whatever seed we sow in it. Andrew said, when you plant an acorn or an apple seed or any kind of seed, it doesn't grow out of the seed, for the earth brings forth the fruit thereof. Interesting, isn't it? Dirt, he says, is miraculous. The dirt brings forth the fruit. And of course, that would be our heart. The seed dies and then draws everything it needs out of the soil to grow. Genesis 1, he created all of creation out of the ground, even the animals. He took the minerals, the chemicals, and the water and the dirt, and he made everything. Amazing. Amazing God. Hallelujah. What you put in your heart, the heart automatically gives life to it. You don't want the seeds of the world in your heart. Amen. Amen. Whatever you focus on or think on will produce fruit. The ground, the heart, is no respecter of seeds. Romans 8, 5 and 6 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Amen? But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You mind the things of the Spirit. Amen? For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Glory to God. So there you go. It's either one or the other. The seeds that you sow into your heart. Many people desire to walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. And this verse really makes it very simple. explains it very well, doesn't it? Those who mind spiritual things are walking after the Spirit. And those who mind carnal things are walking after the flesh. So where is your focus? The Greek word that was translated mind there means to exercise the mind, i.e. to entertain or to have a sentiment or opinion, by implication, to be mentally disposed in a certain direction. That's the Strong's Concordance. Whatever people think on is what they're going to become or do. Proverbs 23:7, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Those who are after the flesh think on carnal things and therefore do carnal things. Thinking carnally can only produce death, while thinking spiritually can only produce life. This verse actually gives us a test so that we can determine if we're walking after the flesh or after the Spirit. We have to judge what we are thinking about. We have to judge that. If we are constantly thinking on the things of the Spirit, then we are walking after the Spirit. If we are dominated with carnal thoughts, then we are walking after the flesh. Carnal and flesh are the unrenewed part of us, Andrew said. The unrenewed part. It hasn't been renewed by the Word of God. It doesn't necessarily mean evil thoughts, the words carnal and flesh, but that you live according to your senses is really what carnal and flesh means. That you're living according to your senses, which is the natural realm. Carnal-mindedness doesn't just tend towards death, it equals death. Spiritual-mindedness doesn't just tend towards life, it equals life. You know, sometimes it's easy to see what people have been planting in their garden, the garden of their heart. Amen? What you plant is what you get. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. You know, the Amplified Bible for Romans 6:23 says this: death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter, are sickness, depression, loneliness, hatred, poverty, fear, and everything else that came as a result of sin would be included in this term, death. Interesting, isn't it? The wages of sin is death. That's what the Amplified said. If believers would dominate themselves with the spiritual truth of God's Word, they would receive only life and peace. Spiritual-minded is being Word-minded. Mm-hmm. We're to guard our hearts, aren't we? The Bible says to take heed what we hear, to take heed what we see. Your thoughts can make cancer bigger than you and even bigger than God. Andrew said that. Hallelujah. If you're not seeing life and peace in your life, it's not God's fault. Joshua 1:8. Andrew actually mentioned Joshua 1:8 more than any scripture over the last 4 days. It is. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate. Amen. Talked a lot about meditation. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. There is no other time. Amen. Day and night. Hallelujah. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Notice the Lord was instructing Joshua to speak the word of God and meditate on it. Right? Day and night. Reading the word really wasn't mentioned there, but of course it's obvious that you're going to read it to meditate on it, right? But many people stop at the reading of God's word. They'll read it, but that's it. They'll stop there. But God's saying, Go another step. Go even another step. Amen? Hallelujah. Speaking God's word shows knowledge of its truth. If you're speaking the word of God, it shows you have knowledge of the word of God. And it also reveals that you are a student of the word of God, doesn't it? All meditation is not, meditation is not the same as reading the word of God. Meditation is taking a truth that we read in Scripture and thinking on it over and over and over until we see the fulfillment or the fruit of it. Hallelujah. Then, as we think in our hearts, that's what we will have. 1 Timothy 4:15 says, "Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." Now, I like that. There's a world out there that needs to see the profiting in the body of Christ because of the Word of God. That's the fruit of the Word of God. Hallelujah. We have to believe, amen, that what we have spoken and meditated on from God's Word produces action and transformation. You have to believe that, don't you, with all your heart. Faith without works is dead, James 2:20 says. And when we have spoken the Word, when we've meditated on it and acted on God's Word, then and only then will we make our way prosperous, and then we will have good success. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everyone wants the prosperity and the success that verse promises, but few are willing and few are dedicated enough to do what is necessary to see that manifest in their lives. Notice, too, that this will happen. There is no maybe about it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. God wants the world to see His fruit in us. Glory to God. That meditating on the Word, that your profiting may appear to all. Mark 4:20 speaks of seed sown in good ground. Look at Mark 4:20. I think, we're already there in Mark 4. So verse 20 says, "And these are they which are sown on good ground." Hallelujah. "It brings forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some hundredfold." Andrew said that he used to think that the next verse was not part of the parable, but he says he knows it is. Verse 21, it says, "And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick?" Andrew said that he's speaking to those who have received the fruit of the Word of God. God will put them on a candlestick for the world to see. Glory to God. God is going to raise up His church to be the light to this world. Amen? Hallelujah. It's for the world to see. He promotes and advances us as we put the Word in our hearts. That's a promise. Exalt the Word and it will exalt you. Hallelujah. This is one reason why Satan comes immediately to steal the seed of the Word of God in our hearts. Amen. The world is upside down. You know, there's so much unbelief. But the antidote is the Word of God. Hallelujah. And we have the antidote. Glory to God. That reminded me of 2 Corinthians 6:14. It says, "Don't be equally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion is light with darkness? What concord does Christ have with Baal? What part does a believer have with an infidel? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For, and it goes on, for ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You know, you can't make it any plainer than that, can you? How many ways can you say, how many ways can God say it? Come out and be ye separate. Amen. Hallelujah. Because it does make a difference what you hear. Amen. It does make a difference who you are in relationship with. Because you are to protect and guard the garden of your heart. Amen? Because it affects your life. Busyness will harden your heart. Being preoccupied. 1 Corinthians 15:33, don't be deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Wow. Evil communications does not mean like using bad language. And good manners is more than just a style. The word evil means worthless. Evil communications. The word evil means worthless or depraved or injurious, the Strong's Concordance says. It encompasses much more than what most people think. Worthless communications are also corrupt good manners. Therefore, it's not just the extreme evil that we need to be aware of, but all the vain, useless, and worthless speech and actions of others that can affect you. We need to be careful of the things that we hear and the things that we see because they do influence our lives. Corrupt words bring forth corrupt fruit. God gave us everything we need in seeds. Hallelujah. And Mark 4, again, look at verse 13. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable, and know then will ye know all parables. And how then will you know all parables? In other words, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand any parables in the Word of God. It's the key. Amen. And verse 14 says, the sower soweth the word. The sower soweth the word of God. This parable illustrates some of the unchangeable laws of how God's word works. Amen? The whole world operates from seeds. There wouldn't be any animals or plants or human life without seeds. Likewise, the whole kingdom of God is dependent upon the word of God. In verse 15, this was the first type of soil there. It says, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that is sown in their hearts. This first type of heart is one that has no desire towards God's word. No desire at all for God's word. The word never gets inside of their heart, but lays on the surface where it is easily stolen by the enemy. The only one of these four types of ground or hearts where Satan has free access to steal away the word is this first one, where there is no understanding. Therefore, understanding is the first step to getting the Word of God to germinate. Understanding. And verse 16 talks about stony ground. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And the and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Jesus described this one as one who has received the word, even with great joy, but whose commitment to the word is shallow. Just as a plant must establish strong roots, a root system to sustain the growth, so must become, become rooted and grounded in God's word. Notice that too, afflictions, persecutions, and tribulations are instruments of the devil and are used to stop God's word from bringing forth fruit in our life. They're not from God, they are instruments of Satan. You know, these things are designed to take our attention off of God's word, thereby stopping the word from taking root in us. In 18 and 19 there, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. This was sowing where the seeds were just thrown anywhere. Likewise, it's kind of a picture, though, of something you might not expect. It's a picture of the word of God being given to everyone. We don't just pick out a few here and a few there for the harvest, right? The gospel's for everyone. The word of God is for everyone. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Not everyone is going to receive it. Amen? But that's not our business. Our job is to sow everywhere. Amen. Hallelujah. All the things of this world will... the things of this world steal energy from the seed. The only way to maintain the proper balance in our lives is to maintain a vibrant relationship with the Lord. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will reveal to us any time we begin to be too focused on anything other than Him. A laser is all about focus, right? The power of the Christian is amplified by a single focus. I'll say that again. The power of the Christian is amplified by a single focus. Amen? Philippians 3:13, Paul said, "This one thing I do." Hallelujah. The way to destroy a man's vision is to give him two. Verse 20 talks about good ground. And what made it good ground? Did it have more nutrients in it? More dirt? No. It had less. It had less weeds. It had less rocks in it. The same with our hearts. It takes less occupation with the things of the world and more focus on the Lord. God's word is an incorruptible seed and has the same potential in every situation. It's not the word that is the variable here, right? But rather the condition of the heart that is receiving it. The four soils, again, are progressive steps. So we need to spend a lot of time putting down roots. Amen? Remember, it takes time for the word to take root into our hearts, but it's a good time. God has a wonderful plan for His kingdom and His children. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Amen. He has given us His word. Hallelujah. We can meditate on it day and night. God has given us no limits in the spirit realm. We need to let the seed produce the fruit. Hallelujah. We receive the seed into our hearts. We protect it, and we focus on God, and it produces without effort. The Word never fails and never returns void. Amen. Matthew 11:12 says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now," talking about the church age, "from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." There will be opposition, but the spiritually violent will take it by force. We will possess and fulfill all that God has for us. We will possess our land in the name of Jesus. The word "suffer violence" means to force or to press. When John the Baptist came in the power of the Spirit, preaching and turning people away from sin and preaching faith of the coming and the coming of the Messiah, multitudes began flocking to the wilderness to be baptized of John, confessing their sins and putting their faith in the coming Messiah. Amen. They were truly pressing in to the kingdom of heaven. They were overcoming every opposition of the law, traditions, unbelief, and everything that Satan threw at them in order to receive the message that John had. They were violently resolved in their own zeal and forcefully pressing into the kingdom of heaven. Today, as in the days of John the Baptist, Satan is opposing the preaching of the gospel, as he does, and only those who are violently resolved to receive God's best, hallelujah, will have it. Amen. Glory to God. It's not, as Andrew said, it's not a time to be passive in the body of Christ. It is not time. James 4:7, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God." First, submit to God. "Resist the devil, and he will flee." Glory to God. We have a job to do. And now is the time of the end time harvest. Amen. Amen. We are not to let the lies of the devil or the ways of the world to hinder us in any way. Hallelujah. Because again, we're on assignment by God. We have a job to do, and that is to bring in the end time harvest. Hallelujah. Andrew said this morning, we need to believe God for something big. He said those very words this morning. And then, of course, I thought about again what Brother Copeland said. He said it's going to be far bigger and it's going to be far more powerful and more majestic than you could ever dream or think. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then it went on to say, this phase of your ministry, talking to Pastor, will overshadow all the rest of all these years, and it begins now. Glory to God. Shikaranda masohole diasa. Y'all stand up. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Shikaranda masohole diasa. God, we agree with this prophecy. Hallelujah. This phase of your ministry, Pastor Bob Nichols, will overshadow all the rest of your years in this house. Hallelujah. We agree. It begins now. Hallelujah. Shikaranda masohole diasa masanda. God, we are thankful for the call that you have upon this house for this hour, for this time. Hallelujah. God, we thank you, God. You are mindful of one thing, and that is the end time harvest. Hallelujah. God, we ask for the heathen, for our inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for our possession, God. You said to ask, and we would receive the harvest. harvest. So, Father, we thank you for the harvest that belongs to this house and this ministry in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak the blood of Jesus over the harvest. Father, we thank you for it. Hallelujah. God, according to the word of God, we will possess our land in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And God, we agree with your word. Hallelujah. We agree, God, that it is going to be far bigger and far more powerful and more majestic than what we could even ask or think. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the outpouring of your spirit. God, we thank you that your glory is going to be revealed in this house. God, we thank you, God, for the manifestation of the glory of God in this house. God, we thank you for the manifestation of signs and wonders and miracles in this house. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Calvary Cathedral International will possess its land in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your amazing grace. I thank you, God, for the blood of Jesus Christ upon this house. God, I bless the congregation of this house, God. I bless their families. Everything they put their hands to will prosper. I speak health and strength and long life to your house in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus Christ. God, I thank you. You're equipping this army. You are equipping this army for such a time as this, God. Hallelujah. To finish the call that you have upon their lives, God. They will do the will of God. They will do what you've called them to do. They will speak what you've told them to speak, God. Hallelujah. They will finish their course, God. So we thank you, God. You are at work in this house, God. We say, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You are the same God yesterday, today, and forever, God. Hallelujah. God, we thank you, God, for your blessings upon this house, God, and every house represented here. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Oh, hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I hadn't thought about Noah sometime, but the thought just hit me just seconds ago. I wonder what it took to keep Noah focused on building the ark. Not 120 days. I wonder what it took. You know, there are faith incentives that we all must hold on to. And really, thank you, Lord, done such a great job there. Really, it comes down to, do we or are we going to pursue a positive gospel of entertainment and self-helps, or planting positive, powerful seeds and patiently feeding on the Word of God? You know, I'm not given to that type of thing in that severe way, but right in the middle of these services this week, I woke up, and I don't know when I have ever experienced just like a dark assault of hell against, you say, what was it? It's none of your business. I don't mean it even like that, but I mean it was just a hopelessness, or like a hold on everything that God's doing. I think I got it said in saying that. Just a hold on everything that God, the potential and all that God is doing and all that God will be doing. And you know, I realized what it was. I mean, it was just like you look around on, like the young servant when he said, Master, we're kind of surrounded here. It's hopeless, you know. Satan will surround you with a hopeless feeling, with hopeless circumstances, it seems. But you know, I just went right back to the Word of God. I went right back into Mark. And I just said, regardless of how I feel, regardless of how I think or see, it's been a long time since I've had that kind of craziness from the enemy. But you see, he doesn't know everything, but he sees good things coming. He'll try to get you off track. He'll try to get your thinking off track, try to get your emotions off track. He'll get you all distracted over to another way. Now, I mean, this is end time warfare stuff I'm talking about tonight. Amen. But, you know, just before we leave, and I believe we're right on target what God wanted us to do tonight. I believe there's a time to review and just refresh your spirit and say, in the name of Jesus. We used to sing a chorus years ago, I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. I'll take the way with God's anointed few. I'm going through, Jesus. I'm going through. We're not going under, we're going through. I said, we're not going under, we're going through. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going through. I wonder if we could just come and stand and just for a few moments just lift our heart in prayer and declare and redeclare our week of victory and breakthrough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. In the name of Jesus. Father, we stand on your word. We stand on your word. Your word said, I'm going to make you a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Oh, that we're going to literally pulverize the mountains. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, mountain moving, mountain dissolving faith. Hallelujah. Lord, we're going to take the things that have been taught and emphasized and so beautifully distributed among us in these days of this special time of meeting. And Father, we're going forth in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, to see victory stronger than ever before. Breakthroughs, miracles, divine provisions, healing in our bodies. Oh, yes, Lord. Well, hallelujah. Okay, I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. I'll take the way with the Lord's anointed few. I'm going through, Jesus. I'm going through. Yes, I